The passage comes from Galatians 5, 16 to 26. Somyang already read it for us, but I'm going to actually read it one more time. So if you have your Bibles, please turn there. If you don't have it, I have it on the screen as well. Reading from ESV. Okay, let's see if this works. Okay, it works. Galatians 5, 16 to 26. I'm going to be reading once again. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen. So this passage draws a very clear line between the two things. I'm sure it's pretty clear. It's Spirit and flesh. And it describes how the desires of the Spirit is against the desires of the flesh, and how the desires of the flesh is against desires of the Spirit, right? It's opposed to each other. It is at war against each other. Then where is this battle, war, where does it take place? It takes place daily for a lifetime in a believer's life. If you're a believer, you are also going through these wars, maybe on a daily basis. Maybe, I don't know, I mean, every hour there's a war going on. Someone asked me this. Pastor Myung-hwa, after I became a Christian, life became harder. I feel like instead of having peace in my heart, everything became a struggle. Because like what you used to do without feeling troubled, now somehow you feel uncomfortable. Now there's suddenly this thing called conviction of the Holy Spirit, this inner voice that tells you, well, you shouldn't be doing that, right? When they, before they believed in God, maybe didn't have. Of course, even for non-believers or before you believe in Jesus Christ, there are these fights going on. You guys probably saw it in some animations or like just comic books. I don't know. There's like a person, and then in that person's mind, there's like the temptation, the voice of temptation. Just do it, right? Or the devil, right? And then there's on a figure of an angel, or maybe it's just human conscience that says, no, don't do it, right? And we're aware of all of these like fights, the temptation, and the angel or the devil, and there's like voices just like going back and forth. You guys are aware of that, right? So even for non-believers, there's a little bit of fight, but once you put your faith in Christ Jesus, Holy Spirit comes into your life. He resides in you, and that Spirit starts to give you different sets of desires. That's why there's this war, there's this battle of desires in your heart. So I think it totally makes sense what this new believer told me. Instead of peace, somehow the real battle began in my heart. Now you have this new desire through the Spirit of God to love and please and glorify God. This is a desire that you didn't have before. But you still live in a body and flesh that's so used to love and glorify and serve and please your own self and just yourself, right? All of your needs and wants. And the clash is actually quite great. The godly desire and this fleshly desire, they are enemies to each other, and there's constant war that is going on in our lives. Ephesians 4, it describes this with different labels, but it's talking about the same thing. Let me read it for you. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful what? Deceitful desires. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self or new man, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So it's also talking about this old self that only knew yourself, that only knew how to please your flesh. But then there's this new self that's created. Of course, we were, even from the beginning, we're created in the image of God. However, this verse says, after the likeness of God in true righteousness, true holiness. That's only possible in Christ Jesus. You guys with me, right? So this old self and new self, and we need to put it off and then put on the new self. This concept is repeated throughout the Bible. So today, the title is this, The War of the Desires. I chose war instead of battle because battle is more like episode, right? One fight. But war, it could last for a long time, right? So I titled it accordingly, it's The War of the Desires. This is, earlier I mentioned, it might be discouraging to some of you. Some of you are thinking, maybe after a couple years of growing as a Christian, this battle will be over. Maybe I will win and win forever. I'm sorry, but this will be an ongoing struggle for believers. This is a daily and lifelong fight. It's a real war, but it's actually a fight that's already won. I'm going to get to that at the end, okay? But why God? Come on, you could have just made things easier. You could have just, when I believed in you, Jesus, you could have come into my life and somehow supernaturally melted my sinful desires and just get rid of my any ability to sin. If you could just make me like unable, incapable of sinning anymore, my life will be so much easier. Anybody with me? My life will be so much simpler. My life will be so much more manageable. You know, what's up with this daily struggle? Why didn't you, God, get rid of this? Well, I talked about this, I think, for 3 Sundays in a row, but I love this point, so bear with me. It's because, okay, it's going to sound weird, but bear with me, okay? It's because God cares about love. It's because God wants love. He cares about the concept of love. If God gets rid of our free will, our choices, turns us into, okay, I'm not going to do a robot thing today, okay? But if God turns you and I into a robot and says, you're only able to love, you're only able to obey, you're only able to do well, you're only able to blah, 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 right? So we don't have a choice. So automatically, we're systematically, like, we're coded just to do good. I'm doing it again. To just love God, you know, follow his rules, and we don't have any capability of sinning, then, you know, there will be no more sin. That's great. However, hear me, there's going to be no more love. Because love is always a choice. Love is always choosing someone over something. Love is always, obedience also loses its meaning. Why? Obedience is you choosing to obey when it's inconvenient. You choosing to obey when you have other options. If you're only given one option just to obey, that's no longer obedience. That's just a life of a robot. You guys with me? You guys with me? So once free will or choice is taken away, you lose the opportunity or your ability to choose God over things. That is really sad. You lose your opportunity to obey God and love God and please God and move his heart. So in a sense, this war sucks. However, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. Why? I get to choose God over my sin. I have an opportunity to please his heart. I have an opportunity to choose to obey when disobedience or rebellion is easier. I get to do that. It's a daily opportunity for us to choose God. God is all about love. He is love. He wants our love. He wants your love. And because he cares about this love, he's never gonna take away your free will. He's never gonna take away this choice to choose him over these things. Let me take you back to Genesis chapter 1 to 3. Garden of Eden. You know, we all hear about this tree, right? God told us not to eat from the tree, and Adam and Eve messed up. We all think that there was only one tree, but actually there were two. There was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the tree that God said, don't eat from it. But there was also a tree called Tree of Life. So it wasn't just they did what was forbidden, but they chose to do. It was their choice to choose that tree over the Tree of Life. Are you with me? So even the sin, it started with us choosing, or our ancestor, Adam and Eve, choosing something over God, pleasing God, being with God. And also the nature of sin is us choosing something else over God. So this war is tough. This war is challenging. However, this war is necessary. And it is beautiful only because it exists for love. If it wasn't for love, it would not be worth it. This war is for love. This war is for love. Turn to your neighbor and tell them this. This war is for love. Okay, come on. Oh, wow. Wow, someone just chuckled at me. Okay, fine. It's cheesy, I know. But this war is truly for love. And praise God. Because God didn't leave us alone to figure how to win this. He actually gave us a way. He has equipped us with the Holy Spirit. God, one of the Godheads, Holy Spirit, decided to reside inside of us. And so, before I go into overcoming, I just want to show you this simple summary table of the two desires. Desires of the Spirit, desires of the flesh. The desires of the Spirit is all about pleasing God, God desiring. Desires of the flesh is all about sin desiring. The desires of the Spirit is about loving God and loving our neighbors. The flesh only wants to love oneself. The key word there is only. There's nothing wrong about loving yourself. The Bible does say, love your neighbors as yourself. So if you don't know how to love yourself, you're not going to know how to love your neighbors, right? But the problem is we only love ourselves, and that's the problem, okay? So the desires of the flesh is only about me and my well-being, okay? Next, the desires of the Spirit is about new self. That's what Ephesians 4 talks about. But the other, the flesh, is about old self that we need to put off, okay? Last line, the desires of the Spirit is about growing fruit of the Spirit. Everyone say fruit of the Spirit. The other side, the flesh, is about works of the flesh. Good students, okay. Works of the flesh, okay. So fruit of the Spirit, works of the flesh. This is from today's passage. And I just want to get into that a little bit. Okay. Well, we already read this. Let's take a look at these verses one more time. Hey, notice on verse 19. Paul says that the works of the flesh are evident. Would you agree with that? Pretty evident. It's pretty clear, right? And at the end of the list, he wrote things like these. What he means by that is this. I could keep going, but you get the point. And he just stops there. So it's not about all these things are bad things and this is like the entire list. No. You can add probably a bunch of things on top of this list, right? So Paul is saying, I could keep going. You guys know what I'm talking about, but I will stop here. And so these are the examples of the works of the flesh. And I think, like he said, it's pretty clear, okay? And then, verse 22, is it verse 22? Okay. And then, interestingly, earlier he talked about works of the flesh, but now here he's talking about fruit of the Spirit. Why fruit? That's kind of random. Why fruit? Like watermelon or whatever fruit that you like, right? Why suddenly talking about this fruit? And I think this is really profound. And it's not fruits. It's actually one fruit. It's a singular noun. It's one fruit. It's referring to Christ's likeness. It's referring to Jesus' character as whole, right? And these characteristics are pretty much describing godly characters, what Jesus had, his character. It's describing who Jesus Christ was, pretty much. And white fruit, opposed to the works of the flesh, it's because, I don't know if you guys ever done any farming. I haven't. But growing fruit, I heard, takes time, right? We enjoy peaches and grapes, you know, that summer fruit, watermelons, but it actually takes a whole year, maybe not a whole year, maybe half a year to grow these fruits, right? It takes time. You will not plant a watermelon seed and tomorrow you're going to expect the watermelon to be ready to be eaten, right? It's going to take some sweet time. You're not going to notice any growth, you know, yesterday to today, today to tomorrow, tomorrow to the day after. You're not going to be able to tell any difference. However, after a month, if you take pictures, you're going to be able to notice, oh, it's actually growing. But then, day to day, you're going to be wondering, is it growing at all? Day to day, you're going to look at it and say, is it changing colors at all? But then, after a month, after 2 months, after 3 months, you're going to notice, wow, the seed now became the whole fruit, right? Growing fruit takes time, and that's why I believe it's fitting for Paul to use this word fruit for our character development. Because it's taking a long time for me. And I'm sure it's taking a long time for you. It's all taking our lifetime to grow this fruit, this Christ-likeness inside of us. Let's compare. Think about this. Think about the gifts of the Holy Spirit from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. These are two similar, I guess, lists. So a lot of people compare these two. The list of 9 specific spiritual giftings. So these include speaking in tongues and prophesying and interpreting tongues and things like that. These are what? Gifts. Gift is what? You receive. And you use it right away. Gifts are just given. These are gifts of the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit could give it to anyone. On your first day of salvation, let's say you believed in Jesus today, you might be prophesying. You could go and lay hands and heal somebody. These gifts could come to anyone. Whoever Holy Spirit chooses, he could work through anybody. You know, there are some scriptures that makes us think that even non-believers sometimes could move in these gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's a controversy about that. But, you know, you don't have to be mature. It doesn't take any time. Holy Spirit just drops it on you and you just operate in it. You just do it and it works. So compare. The fruit takes time to grow. He doesn't just give it to us. Okay, you got saved. Here's the characters, right? Suddenly you're patient. Suddenly you're loving. Sorry, that does not happen. I wish that happened to me, okay? The fruit takes time to grow. It takes a lot of water, it takes a lot of sun. It also takes a lot of fertilizer. In other words, crap. Yeah, I'm sorry, excuse my word, okay? Like, yeah, yeah. It takes a lot of crappy situations, namely. It takes a lot of, okay, think with me. What do you think will grow your patience? Good life? Kidding me? Tough boss at work, okay? They will grow your patience, okay? What do you think will grow your self-control? Having everything in your life controlled? Sorry, self-control, if you want to grow that, you're going to face some tough circumstances, some crappy situations. And that's just like how the fruit grows. It needs sun, it needs water, but it also needs a lot of crap, okay, for the land to be rich and fertile. And then that's all going to go to this sweet fruit. For you to enjoy the harvesting of a sweet fruit, oh, we're going to deal with some crap in life. So if your life sucks right now, congratulations, guys. God's growing some big, sweet watermelon inside of you, okay? And so don't despise it and say, oh, I don't want this. No, you're going to reap. You're going to harvest a sweet fruit at the end of it. Yeah, somebody's rejoicing. Praise God. Your life must really suck right now, okay? Yeah, that's good for us. That is good for us. Going back to the comparison, the gifts of the Spirit are given to us, to the believers. Paul says, seek those gifts, right? These gifts are good. It's all about revealing Jesus Christ. These gifts are given to us so that we can also do the works that Jesus used to do. Prophesying and all these things, right? It is for us to inherit the ministry that Jesus did. It's his works. And through us operating in these gifts of the Holy Spirit, the world gets to see who Christ is. It's not about me prophesying. It's through me prophesying to you, you get to see, wow, Jesus is real. And you get to know, oh, let's say I have a gift of healing and I heal you from headache. And then you're like, whoa, Jesus is a healer. It's all about, Holy Spirit is not about elevating you as a gift carrier. It's all about gift giver. You know, you gotta know that I'm just a human. I am nobody. I'm nothing. However, through the Holy Spirit, I could carry out the gift so that Jesus will be revealed. And his healing ministry will be revealed. And Jesus receives all the glory. The gift is all about revealing Christ Jesus. Now, the fruit, the character. It's all about character of the Holy Spirit. I mean, sorry, character of Jesus Christ, right? Same thing, right? Character of Jesus Christ. And so if I'm patient, if I'm loving, if I'm joyful, it's not that, oh, Pastor Myung has such great character. It's not about me. I'm revealing who? I'm revealing Christ. And you see me, maybe my non-believer friends see me, my non-believing parents see me. Oh my goodness, Myung Hwa Choi has changed. Who is that girl? They notice, whoa, that's not her. That's not my daughter, because I know how she is. But through my character change, they get to see Christ in me. And they give glory to God. It's God's way of transforming us so that we will reveal Jesus Christ. Also, think about who benefits from these things. Gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's say I heal and I prophesy. Who benefits from that? My friends! You guys, okay? If I have like gifts of the Holy Spirit, if I operate it in, who's lucky? Am I? No, you are. You know, if your neighbor gets a gift of the Holy Spirit, if you're sitting around them, you're lucky because it benefits you. It's not really about the receiver of the gift. Character, same thing. If I become patient, if I become joyful, gentle, kind, and good, who benefits from that? Do I benefit? No, my friends, okay? My future husband, okay? My parents, okay? It's all these people around me who will benefit from that. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus Christ revealing him, but it's also all about others. It's all about the neighbors. It is all about that. Yeah? Sorry. This was not planned. It's good teaching. Yeah. The fruit of the Spirit needs to grow in us. It's character of Jesus Christ that reveal Christ to others. And so, we just move on. Verse 22, okay? It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. This is also a list that is very evident. It's very clear, okay? If I combine these two lists, okay, the flesh list and the spirit list, if I mix it all up and then tell you to sort it through into two categories, do you think you can do it? Yeah? Are you sure? Sorcery? Flesh or spirit? Flesh? Yeah, are you sure? Right? It's pretty simple. Peace, which one is it? Spirit. Is that clear? Are you sure? Hello? Yeah, it's very clear, guys. Even non-believers, if you give them the list and like try to like see what's good, what's bad, oh, they will be able to do it. No problem. Anybody, it's like instinct. Anybody could do it. It's really, really clear list of things. And I always just say, the problem is not that we don't know the law well enough, that we don't keep these things or we mess up in these areas. Do you not know that sexual immorality is bad? Is that why you fall into it? Duh, nobody, okay? It's not because we don't know, we don't have the knowledge of the law that we fall into these things. It's just that these desires are fighting. We sometimes just lose. So the answer isn't study it, know what's actually wrong. No, you know it. You saw the list. It's very clear and evident. It's not through studying or trying to abide by the law that you're going to overcome these sins. You with me? That point should be really clear because the reason why Paul is writing this to them is they're trying to get their salvation through law keeping. And he's saying, hey, it's not because you don't know the law well enough. It's not because you're not trying hard enough to keep the laws. That's not going to solve any problems. Because if you try to keep the law, that's not going to change your heart. It can do nothing to your heart. And so we have to get this point. It's not because we don't know the law well enough. Figuring out what's good, what's allowed, what's lawful, that's not about it at all. And Paul tells us this is the solution. And I'll tell you what the solution is. This is the solution. This is the time you need to wake up. Yeah. Okay, good. Okay. The solution, you got to at least get that, right? So wake up, okay? The solution, the first one I want to draw from verse 24 is this. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So the point is this. The desires of the flesh are what? Dead. The desires of the flesh are dead. I told you it's still in you. It's still there. I told you God didn't get rid of it. It's there, okay? But it's actually dead. And let me explain. The flesh has been, what does it say? Crucified. You know what crucifixion is? That's what Jesus had to go through on the cross, right? Crucified meaning it is dead and gone. It's dead. It's killed. The old has gone with its passions and desires. So your flesh has been crucified and all of the desires are crucified with it. Meaning it's dead. However, the problem is this. It tries to act like it's alive. It tries to deceive you that it's alive in you, okay? One example could be this. Have you guys tried sannakji? Live octopus? You need to try. Visit Busan and try, okay? Anyways, I'm from Busan, so I've had it like multiple times. We call it sannakji. It's like a mini octopus that's we call it live octopus. But hey, is it live or dead? It's dead. How do you know? Because you chopped off the head and then you chopped it up. It's like little pieces that's just like moving around, okay? And you put that in your mouth and then you try it anyways, right? That's sannakji. It tastes pretty good. But it's actually not sannakji, live octopus. It's actually what? Jugeonnakji, which is dead octopus. It's dead. But it acts like it's alive. It's trying to fool you that it's alive, but it's actually not alive at all. It's been dead. Are you guys with me? Your flesh is like that. It's trying to fool you that I'm alive, but you gotta tell your flesh that you're dead. You've been crucified, okay? And so you act like you're alive, but you're actually chicken flesh. You're dead. We gotta sometimes tell them that. It's just like a big shadow. You guys know the shadow thing? It's a piece of paper. But if you like put it against the wall, like it looks scary, it looks big. The shadow on the wall, right? It looks intimidating. However, it's a paper that could be blown away by you just declaring you're dead. So shut up. Your flesh is trying to fool you by being loud and intimidating. And by scaring you, that it tries to fool you that it's alive. However, the scripture says very clearly what? It's been crucified with its desires. Problem, once again, is that we are so good at resurrecting these guys. Treating them like they're alive. We keep feeding them like they're pets, right? Hey, feed the flesh here and there, and then they act like, oh, they become a little bit stronger, and then they like try to fool you more, and then, oh, I'm scared. But it's a dead enemy. Who gets scared in front of a dead enemy? But that's how we often live our lives. We treat it like it's been resurrected. But excuse me, my gospel says the Lord Jesus Christ has been resurrected, not my flesh. I don't know about your gospel. My gospel, the good news, my Bible says Christ Jesus has been resurrected, not the other guy. The devil hasn't been. Your flesh hasn't been. He's dead and forever dead. He's trampled. But somehow in our minds, we try to convince ourselves that it's alive. It's been resurrected. You got to stop thinking that. And you got to declare it's dead. Shut up, you're dead. Stop talking to me. You know, you need to sometimes declare those things. If we get all passive about this, we're going to live like this thing is alive all along. When it's actually long gone and dead, crucified, never going to be resurrected, but you and I are going to live a life where it acts like it's alive. It's not alive. It's dead. You got to tell them that. Flesh, you're dead. Okay? Can you just... Weird, but yeah. Can you tell yourself, okay? Not your neighbor. Tell yourself, flesh, you're dead. Okay, do it. I'm going to make you do it until everybody does it, okay? So do it now. Flesh, you're dead. Like, talk to the live octopus inside of you, right? That you're dead, okay? One more time. Flesh, you're dead. Your flesh is dead with all of its passions and desires. It is dead. We need to be reminded. You think I'm kidding? Romans 6:11, it says it very clearly. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. This constantly is preached through the apostles. It, we're dead to sin, we're alive in Christ, alive to God. Okay, I'm going to move on. Second thing. So one, you need to know the desires of the flesh are actually dead. Number two is this. Coming from verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And I put it in orange, yeah? Fill yourself with the desires of the Spirit. But let me paraphrase verse 25, okay? It's TMT, today's Myeongho translation. Here it goes. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. This is how I read it, okay? Don't just be powered by the Spirit. Put on passions and desires of the Spirit each day and keep up with the Spirit actively. That's how I would interpret that. Don't, if you already live by the Spirit, meaning you're powered by the Spirit. You're alive because of the Holy Spirit. But don't just stop there. Because we just, what, read about our desires and passions are crucified and it's all dead, right? Are you going to now run empty? Are you not going to have any passions and desires in your hearts? Now that it's crucified, it's dead? No, we're called to fill ourselves with the passions and desires of the Holy Spirit. The ones of flesh are gone, but now it's time for us to embrace the desires of the Holy Spirit in us. And keep in step with the Spirit. This is talking about being active about this. Each day, keep up with the Spirit actively. Fill yourself with the desires of the Holy Spirit. When we do this, okay, how long have I gone for? I totally lost track of time. Okay. Thank you. Okay, great. Oh, it's like right there. Okay, I didn't go for it too long. It's been 17 minutes. Just kidding. and so when we live by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit, this is what's going to happen to you. When we actively invite and walk with the Holy Spirit, you're actually going to be busy. You're not going to have much time to go after the desires of the flesh anymore. The ones that I know that are filled with the heart of God, the ones who really adopted the passions and desires of the Holy Spirit, those men and women are busy going after the Lord's will, God's purpose, God's work, God's leading. Those guys are busy. They got no time to go after the desires of their flesh. And they live a full life. And they live a real life. Maybe our problem is that we are busy running away. Maybe we're just busy. Oh, I shouldn't sin. I shouldn't sin. I shouldn't sin. However, we forgot to maybe fill ourselves with what is available, which is the Spirit and His desires. Maybe we forgot to invite Him in and also make His desires my own. And maybe we forgot to run after Him. We're busy running away from the flesh guy, but then we forgot about running after the Spirit. Maybe we became so passive. And we think they're always me. I'm always, you know, losing this battle. No, maybe you need to get up and stop running away, but instead go after the one that you need to chase after. Holy Spirit, His desires, His passions. And God is more than willing to give it to you. That's something I really want to make clear. God is dying to share his passions and desires with us. God is waiting to share his heart with his children. Maybe you and I just need to ask him. Maybe you and I just need to ask God to give it to us. We need to fill ourselves with the desires of the Holy Spirit, then we will have no time to run after the wrong ones. I'm going to end with verse 26. So after all of these fancy sounding teachings about spirit and like love and all these things, right? I love Apostle Paul because he's so practical. He brings it home. His application points are so simple, so real, and it applies to your mundane. Let me show you how last week's passage, you know, how that was wrapped up. You know, verse 14 is about this. Whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Whoa. Really profound, like abstract, you know, concept of love. And then he brings it home right away in verse 15. What does he say? But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. It's talking about like a concept of love, and this is a command. And then suddenly, it's like, hey, by the way, you guys are biting each other. You guys are devouring one another. You guys are gossiping. You guys are hating each other. You guys are not at peace with one another. Your attitude needs to change. Paul like brings it straight to our mundane daily life. Today's passage ends the same way. Verse 25, it's like, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Whoa, very spiritual saying, right? And then verse 26, he takes it straight to our daily life and daily problems. He says, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. He's saying, hey guys, you guys are envying one another. You guys are argumentative. You guys are prideful. You guys have issues. Hey, you need to apply this message into your daily life. And so the war doesn't take place in some remote places, like some missions field, in some persecuted countries. And there are real wars there. However, Paul is so practical. He's so personal. And they say, hey, the war is happening right in your midst, right in your life. It's taking place in your relationship with your mom. It's taking place in your marriage. It's taking place at your work, at home, at school. It's in your daily mundane life. So put it together is what he's saying. Don't be looking for winning this battle somewhere else. It's actually, it needs to be taking place in your life right now. In our hearts, in our heads, in our daily struggles, in our ordinary lives. This is where this word needs to come alive. We need this message right now. When every single one of us, this message of love, this message of walking with the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit, every single one of us in our daily lives, we need this word right now. Amen.